I'd like you to turn to the Psalm 139. I was greatly blessed reading this psalm through the week, and you know, sometimes preachers have difficulty getting a text or getting a message, and I must confess that when you're reading the scriptures, those texts are always jumping up at you, and they're saying, "Preach me, preach me." And it's great to be in that position when the Lord's blessing your own soul and speaking to you through His Word. And it's difficult maybe deciding exactly what you ought to preach, but there is no lack of texts and passages and themes when you come to the great treasury of God's Word. And certainly I believe that this will be a blessing to you as we read the words together, and I trust as we meditate upon it for a time. Psalm 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. We're going to end the reading there at verse 18. And it's those last two verses that really spoke to my heart, verses 17 and 18. And I want to speak on the subject of God's precious thoughts for His people. For the psalmist says, How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. David is proclaiming a tremendous truth in this psalm that should never be forgotten. God knows us through and through. There is nothing that God doesn't know about us. Every minute, little, insignificant detail is under His notice. The tiniest thing about us is beneath His scrutiny, the scrutiny of His all-seeing, all-searching eye. We call this the doctrine the omniscience of God. God knows everything. God sees everything. Nothing escapes His attention. There's not even a sparrow that falls in this earth without God knowing about that little bird falling to the ground. Every hair of your head is numbered. That might be easier to do for some of us, but even if you have plenty of hair, God knows every single hair of your head. He knows our down-sitting and our uprising. We read that in verse 2. He knows what we think. We also read that in verse 2. Nothing, I suppose, is more precious to us and more personal to us than our thoughts. Nobody knows what we think. And I suppose, in many cases, that's a good thing. But God does. He sees into the depths of our heart, into the inner regions of our soul, the things that cross our mind daily. They are known to God. They may be true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, those things that we are commended to think upon by the Apostle Paul. They may be otherwise. They may be the very opposite indeed. They may be false, dishonest, unjust, impure, unlovely, of ill report, things to be utterly ashamed of, but God reads them all. He knows our thoughts afar off, says the psalmist here, our distant thoughts, those thoughts that are known to God before we think them, or long after we have forgotten them. He knows them all. He knows where our feet take us every day, and where we lay our heads to rest. That's what we read in verse 3. Every step that I take, every right step, every wrong step, every by step. He knows me when I lie down, when I retire for the night, when I reflect upon all that I have done in that day. All that is within my heart when I go to bed is known by the Lord. He is acquainted, the psalmist says, with all my ways. You know, that's mind-blowing. God is acquainted with all our ways. Just as David says in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. He knows the rules that I walk by. He knows my ambitions and my goals. He knows the company that I keep. He knows the places that I go. He's intimately acquainted with all things about me. Every word spoken is done within his hearing. Verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Everything we do, everything we say, everywhere we go, God knows all about it. It's impossible to escape from God. We have a summary of that as David goes on to speak about the omniscience of God from verse 7. Look at those words. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, asks David? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. This is so for God's people. David is the author of the psalm, and he's writing here as a child of God. You cannot escape the Lord. And yet these words are just as applicable to the non-Christian. If you're unconverted in this meeting, you can't escape God either. By tradition in our free churches, the morning service is usually given over as a ministry meeting. By that I mean we're generally speaking to the Lord's people, to Christians, seeking to build them up in their faith. And then at night time we call it the gospel service. That's the evangelistic outreach. It is at that meeting where we seek to preach to the unconverted that they might see that there's a great Saviour and that they need to come to this great Saviour. But generally, at the worship service, it's to the Lord's people. Sadly, those who are unconverted who come to the Lord's Day morning service, they do not come back oftentimes at night. If that's you, don't escape what you're being taught here in God's Word. You cannot escape God. There is nowhere in this earth whatsoever that you can hide, that you can be out of his sight. When God in his mercy goes out after you to bring you to himself, there's no escaping. There's nowhere to hide. There's no height that is high enough. There is no depth that is deep enough. There is no part of the ocean that is remote enough. There is no night that is dark enough, because God sees in the darkness just as well as He sees in the light. And God can search you out. Jonah tried to run away from God, but he couldn't do it. He tried to go out away into the midst of the sea, but God sent a storm after him and brought him back again. Saul of Tarsus tried to run away from God. The Bible tells us that he was kicking against the pricks when he was challenged that day on the road to Damascus about where he stood. The Lord Jesus said to him about kicking against the pricks. He was resisting the Lord. He was running away from God. And my friend, maybe you're just like that. Maybe you're like Jonah. You're running away from God. You're like Saul of Tarsus. You're trying to hide from God. You're kicking against Him. But I tell you, my friend, when God goes and He searches out the sinner, there's no place that you can hide. He'll find you. Of course, pity the man that God never searches out after. Pity the man who hardens himself so much against the gospel that the Spirit of God ceases to strive with him, ceases to search for him, ceases to run after him. I trust that no one in this meeting is found in that position today. We are always before God, and as far as His redeemed are concerned, we're always beneath His care, we're always surrounded by His love, we are kept, and we are protected from our mother's womb. Isn't that what he goes on to say in verses 13 through to 16? David then makes this wonderful statement about God's thoughts towards His own people. The statement that we're taking for our text in verses 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Here David gives some application to the doctrine of God's omniscience. He acknowledges with wonder and thankfulness the care that God has taken off him all his days. This God that knew him through and through thought about him. Isn't that incredible? To be thought about by God. God's thoughts are always upon his people, personally and individually, for our good. His thoughts are thoughts of love and goodness and mercy. He watches over us for our benefit. What a blessing that is. And I want to take just the minutes that remain in this service to think about God's precious thoughts for his people. And just to speak about three things that we have in this text. First of all, there's a great marvel. And the great marvel is seen in that opening line of verse 17. How precious. Dear child of the Lord, here indeed is a great marvel, a most blessed wonder. God thinks about us. His thoughts are upon us every day and every moment of every day. To know that He who is the Almighty, the Sovereign and Infinite God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the Sustainer of all things, the Redeemer of souls, this God who is infinite, eternal and unchangeable in His being and attributes, a God of holiness, justice, goodness and truth, He thinks about us. This indeed is a wonder of wonders, and we ought to marvel. Day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, this blessed God, who loves us with an everlasting love, who inhabits eternity, thinks about us at all times. And that's something impossible to you and me. No matter how much we love a person, no matter how much we esteem that individual, no matter how much we care for them, no matter how much we hold them in high regard, no matter how much we would seek to honor them with our thoughts, we cannot think about them every moment of every day. At best, it is a few fleeting moments in any given day. I love my wife, and I'm sure, husbands, you love your wives too. but I cannot think about her all the time. I love my children, but my thoughts are never constant toward them. I love this church and this congregation, but my mind is fraught with human limitations. I love the work of missions, and my heart is ever upon God's dear servants who labor on the mission field, and I pray for them. And this congregation remembers them often, but I am confined in my mortal mind in how constant my thoughts can be of them. And I love this wee country of ours, and I pray for revival. I pray that God will come and manifest himself in this land. But my thoughts are restricted. But praise God today, I am always on his mind. There is never a lapse in God's memory. There is never a deficiency in his thinking. There is never a failure on his part to think about me, his child. God is infinite in his mind. There is no defect or flaw or imperfection in that divine essence that prohibits him in any way. He thinks about me. He thinks about you personally. He thinks about our congregation meeting here today. Do you know that? God is thinking about this church, this people that are gathering here. And you know, he's thinking about our other sister congregations. And he's thinking about like fellowships that are meeting throughout this country and throughout the nation. And he's thinking about our missionaries. They may be meeting at different times through the world in the different time zones, but the eye of God is upon them, and he's thinking about them. His mind is upon Noreen today, and upon Margaret and Gillian. His mind is upon Kathy and her brother Dave DeCanio. His mind is upon the work there in Kenya. But not only Kenya, the rest of Africa. And not only Africa, but all of Asia, and all of Australia, and all of North America, and all of South America, and all of Asia. All the continents of the world, all the countries of the world, all the nations and the peoples and the tongues of the earth's inhabitants. And wonder of wonders, he thinks upon his people separately and individually throughout the whole earth. All the infinite mind of the infinite God who was able to ponder his blood-bought people, millions of them, and he's able to do that at the same time. Isn't this a marvel? Isn't this a wonder? Yes, we can say with David, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is beyond human comprehension. I cannot take it in with this finite mind of mine. David was able to exclaim, "How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God." It's marvelous that he thinks about us at all. Not only is the thoughts of God for his people a great marvel, but thank God we have a great mercy here. As he says these words, "Precious are thy thoughts unto me." It is a wonderful mercy that God thinks about us. How precious are his thoughts towards his people. What are we? What were we? In our unregenerate state, sinners condemned and unclean, deserving nothing but eternal wrath and eternal vengeance forever. If God had taken us and thrust us down to the lowest hell, we would have had to say that that was a right thing, that was a just thing. We would have had to say amen to what God did. We would have had to say, you know, we deserved what we got. We got a just recompense of reward. And there in the caverns of the damned, we would have languished in the flame of that lost and awful destiny forever. In our sin, we were like those of whom the prophet spoke in the first chapter of his prophecy. A people laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors. Indeed, the whole head was sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. This is indeed an accurate picture
of what we are, our spiritual state without the Savior. For what we have here is a picture of total depravity. Our sins were as scarlet. They were like crimson. The prophet elaborates further on this in the 64th chapter of his book. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's what we are without the Savior. Paul reminds us that we were dead in trespasses and in sins. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We walked according to the children of disobedience. We had our conversation, he said, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. He said that we were children of wrath. We were without God. We were without Christ. We were far off. Oh, how true this is of us all, without the Savior. We were far off. As far off as any man could ever be from God who's holy. We wallowed in the quagmire of sin. But even there, I want you to know this, even there, we were on his mind. And how precious were his thoughts unto us. Thoughts of mercy. Thoughts of forgiveness. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts of reconciliation. Thoughts of redemption. And thus he stepped into our lives and he made all things new. I deserve wrath. But his thoughts were thoughts of forgiveness. I deserved the lowest hell, but his thoughts were the thoughts of highest heaven. I deserved to be shut out for all eternity, but his thoughts were to take me into the number. I deserved to be locked up in the darkest prison cell of destruction, but his thoughts were thoughts of love and freedom and everlasting bliss. How precious were his thoughts to me, the sinner? In the great councils of eternity, God thought about me. And I tell you, those thoughts were precious. He planned the whole scheme of redemption. He purposed to send his only begotten Son, the Son that he loved from all eternity. He purposed to ordain the cross, the suffering and the shame. He decreed his eternal purpose in Christ for his church. How precious were his thoughts unto me. And when the fullness of the time was come, those thoughts of the great council were put into action. And God sent the seed of humanity into the womb of the Virgin Mary. And Christ, the promised one, was brought forth. And he lived a life of perfect sinlessness, working out a perfect righteousness and obedience on my behalf. And then his whole ministry rose to a climax at the cross when he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When he was put to death in the flesh, when the wrath of a holy God fell upon my substitute, yes, in the fullness of time his thoughts towards me were precious. And then came that moment in my experience and in yours when free grace awoke us with light from above. It was the day of our conversion. He dealt with us in mercy and in grace. He drew us irresistibly to himself. He poured in the oil of his Spirit and the wine of his blood. And our sins that were putrid and vile and corrupt were washed and cleansed away forever. We were made a child of the King. We were brought into his banqueting house. He spread his skirt over us in redemption. He received us as his sons. He took us into the number. He made us fit for the eternal kingdom of heaven. He clothed us with his own spotless robe of pure whiteness. And I have a standing now in Christ today. I have a place in his family. I am united to him forever in a bond that can never be broken. I am his and he is mine forever. Oh, the blessed day when he took me in and he thought about me. I tell you, precious were his thoughts unto me, the sinner. But it didn't end there. The day of my conversion was just the beginning. He did not save me and then leave me. No, he continued to look after me and to provide for me. He became my Savior and he became my friend. That friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I have been constantly and fervently on his mind. How precious are his thoughts to me, the saint. I'm a child of God. He ever thinks upon me. Every day, every hour, every moment. He continues to pour in his oil and his wine. The riches of his grace. The fullness of his spirit. The mercy of his forgiveness. I love him. And he loves me. And every day I'm under his care and protection and bountiful provision. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Oh, dear Christian, in this service today, he's thinking about you. And he's thinking about me right now. Right this very second. Our thoughts may not even be upon him. I hope they are. I hope today that we're giving attention to his word. But even if we're not, I want to tell you, his thoughts towards us are precious. He's thinking about us in this meeting, and his thoughts are thoughts of mercy, goodness, and love. A great marvel, there's no doubt. A great mercy. Look further, because we see, thirdly, a great many, or a great multitude. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. We cannot comprehend the multiplicity of thoughts which God has towards us. His numerous deeds of kindness and acts of mercy that he has shown to us. Can we count them? Can we tell the number of his glorious thoughts? No, my friends, no more than we can count the grains of sand upon the seashore. That's the thought here that David has. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. The same thought is expressed in the 40th Psalm. You needn't turn to it, but in verse 5, David says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us, for they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. The immensity of sand granules on the seashore is a proverbial expression used to illustrate multitude or magnitude in number. It was used, we've been studying at our prayer meeting nights, the subject of faith, and we've been looking at Abraham, and we certainly mentioned it in passing. It was used to describe the seed of Abraham. God says, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 17. The same promise was given to Jacob many, many years later. I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Genesis 32 and verse 12. The expression is also used to portray the volume of the harvest in the seven plentiful years in Egypt when Joseph was the prime minister there. Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much. Until he left numbering, for it was without number. Genesis 41, verse 49. The Midian army was described in such a way in Judges chapter 7 and verse 12. The Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And likewise the Philistine army in 1 Samuel chapter 13 in the days of Saul. Verse 5 described in this way. The Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore. The patriarch Job reckoned that his grief and his pain and his suffering was heavier than the sand of the sea in Job chapter 6 and verse 3. And he said to his friends, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, if you weighed my grief, if you put my calamity into the balances, it's going to be heavier than the sand. And so David the psalmist takes up this very same idea and thought as he attempts to represent the manifold and numerous thoughts that God has towards his people, more in number than the sand. Edwin Excel encourages us to number our blessings in his well-known hymn that we sang earlier, Count Your Blessings. And this we are to do especially in our times of discouragement and adversity, when we're tempest-tossed and discouraged, thinking all is lost, when we're burdened with a load of care and the cross seems hard to bear, when amid the conflict, whether great or small, it's in such times that we are to count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. But it's impossible to count the multitude of God's compassions. They are new every morning. God is good to his children. In another place we read that he daily loadeth us with benefits. He lavishes his love and his mercy upon us continually. And David goes on to say in the psalm that we read, when I awake, I am still with thee. In other words, I'm still under the care of God. I'm still beneath his protection. I may sleep, but he that keepeth Israel never slumbers. He never sleeps. His watchful eye is ever upon me. And when I wake in the morning, he's still there. And his blessings are still there. And his thoughts towards me are still there. Dear child of God, I want you to get this truth into your heart before you leave the service. I want you to take this text home in your soul. I don't know, but you may be discouraged as you came to the house of God today. You may be burdened and weighed down with grief. Your problems may seem to be mountain high. Your future uncertain and perhaps dismal. But get this truth embedded into your heart and soul. Our God thinks about us. And he does that continually. Every moment of every day. And no matter what we're passing through, his eye of love and compassion and mercy is ever towards us. And those precious thoughts are innumerable, more than the sand. If you can just take that text home with you, this thought home with you today, I know it'll be a blessing, as I hope it has been, as we've preached this message. And it was to me as I read it this week and studied for today, the precious thoughts of God towards his people. Take it home in your heart with you today, for Christ's sake.